What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We're broadcasting live at the Memorial Hermann Sports Medicine Update. We're trying to do more this year, so there's some technical issues as some of the recordings weren't going exactly as planned. Just didn't click the right button, but that happens when you're trying to be in two places at one time. But there's lots of great content. Possibly a better way to view all these, to get all this, is to view the YouTube on the sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. It has the links to the YouTube pages. So that's a better way to check that out, because the audio is pretty consistent throughout that. And then also you can see the video there. But definitely check those out. The information about the show notes, the slide notes, presentation notes, those are in there as well on the podcast information. So hopefully you get to learn a little bit. You get to learn a little bit from all this. If you know Bob Marley, thank him. If you don't, I can tell you how to get to know him. Great guy. He's the one that allows us to do all this. So I'm going to continue to thank Bob Marley. And also our promo code for starting in August, we're going to start releasing the promo code or the sweepstakes entry code for school health, for our partnership with school health. We're releasing that here in just a minute, so we'll be ready to write that down. That way you have that. All right, so like I said, I'm going to have that promo code here. You guys ready? Since it is July right now when I'm recording these, and we just celebrated my son's birthday, the promo code for the first set of sweepstakes will be Samuel. So that's his name. That's going to be the promo code. The promo code for the second month, which will be September. So August will be Samuel. September will be Jonah, J-O-N-A-H. And that's the name of my firstborn son, and his birthday is also in July. So since I'm recording these, I'm going to go ahead and use their names as the promo code. So Samuel is the one for August, and then for September, we're going to use Jonah. So when you fill out those forms on school health for the sports medicine broadcast, then you'll want to use those codes.
Lives his life one tweet at a time.
One tweet at a time, baby.
All right, we hot?
Yeah.
Yep. Mike's hot. Hi, Mike. Okay, so here we are, 14th annual sports medicine update. I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off. We're out here.
You can come in.
Frio Hydration's getting some love. So we're working some deals, and won't be long. We'll have a banner up here for the sports medicine broadcast, be able to help y'all. Like I said yesterday, believe in what y'all are doing. I know some people out there watching this getting some good information. Of course, the doctor was talking here previously about the lumbar spine. Like I said yesterday, even when we were talking about menisci injuries, it all comes from the core to the hips and then on down. And what I think a lot of athletic trainers miss is that, and even, you know, PTs at times, doctors, they look at where exactly it's hurting, and we forget to treat the entire athlete, and then we don't realize that their core is terrible, their quads, hips, everything. I'll raise my hand to that too.
Dr. Mosey was just in here talking, and I think he spent like 5 to 7 minutes just describing what he does, like when he walks in the door, before he ever touches the patient. Just looking, the things he looks for.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, usually I'm like, all right, your knee hurts, hop up on the table, let's check you out.
And we're victims of our circumstances at times, because what, you come in the morning for morning treatments and
yeah, 15 minutes with the kids.
There
at
was
most.
Barely anything going on last night, but all of a sudden you have 8 kids in there, and now you have 15 minutes, like you said, knock them all out. And evaluations change at that point. It may be on further down the line that you wait, you know, I didn't check this at first. I do that all the time. So we're victims of our circumstance, mm-hmm. and how those things go, but you're right. I miss things all the time, but at the same time, the more I'm around guys like this and the more I'm exposed to this type of information, it helps put that in the back of my mind. So it's a little quicker. Somebody comes and walk in limping. Am I looking necessarily at their knee or their hip, or am I looking, you know, why are you limping? Is it your back? Is it your core? Is it something else? Just trying to be more focused on that. But that was a good session this morning. That we talked about the lumbar spine. Of course, they just talked about a whole bunch of back stuff that I was sitting over there like, good night, that guy's kind of smart. you know, a little bit smarter than me anyhow.
I know, and it, I said it earlier, it kind of intimidates me, the spine, because there's so much. It's so easy to miss something. There's so much going on. There's so many intricate.
Well, you remember in school, I mean, we, of course, we learned so many things that we probably slipped since then and forgot, and we don't use every day. It's one thing I talk about with our team doctor on the sidelines, you know, Friday nights, and he'll bring something up, and I'm like, yeah, I've learned about that, but I've never seen that in real life, and he'll have to refresh me on what it was or how it got there, and that's just that's a product of the situation. But I think it was very informative. Things like this in the summer help to refresh. You know, we have this policy in our training room: when in doubt, ship it out. But things like this help take away a lot of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have to ship it out as much.
As much.
But at the same time, doctors, they're there for a reason. Athletic trainers, I think this is a very good take-home message. If I say nothing else important this morning, you don't have to be a superhero. You don't have to have MRI glasses.
Unless you're a dad, then you have to be a superhero to your kids. But
this is true, and you are, sir. I don't know where you hide your cape every day. But you're right. I know as an athletic trainer, I felt like I wanted to solve the world's problems. You're not going to do that.
I mean, that's why it's so great having Bill there, because almost every injury that comes in, he'll check it out. Hey, Jeremy, we check him out real quick, and then I'll check him out. Hey, Bill, you know, you mind checking him out? And we don't really say, hey, I think he tore his ACL. Why don't you check him out? I say, hey, will you check him out? And then he'll may do stuff differently.
Unbiased opinion,
yeah. Yeah, and that's if you can have two athletic trainers in the athletic training room, it's awesome, because you get two different opinions, and then you get to confer with each other, and you're like, okay, yeah, we definitely need some. Oh no, we'll try this rehab, we'll do this. And so, like you said, it reduces the doubt when there's somebody else, but there's still more that I need to question beforehand. And
what
before
they
I
say
ever
in
get
college
my hands on them,
90% of our eval is without even touching them. And I know in our profession, just because of the situations that we're in at times, the first thing we do is we'll grab the ankle, we'll do an anterior drawer, and we'll go straight to the point. Because as you're walking off the field, they're giving you the background, and you pretty much know where you're going with this. I've done that, though, at times. I've been what I like to call it symptom blinded, where they'll tell me the symptoms. I think I got it, and I'm looking for it, and it's not what I thought it was. Then I have to stop and say, well, wait, hold on, rewind. Let's go back to the top and see where I went wrong here. So, good stuff this morning. It's something that, I mean, everything they've done here, this has been great. Memorial Hermann does a great job down here with this thing. This is my first year coming, but I've learned a lot, despite running in and out of the room and back to my table out there and everything. And, of course, it's all recorded, so I'll be able to go back and get a recap. And then we're doing this again at SWATA, right?
Oh, with SWATA, I don't think I'm recording sessions. I think it's going to be more of what we're doing right now is, hey, come talk to us. Hey, come talk to us. So, like I said, I may be sitting down at your table for a good part of SWATA just saying, hey, come talk to me.
You're more than welcome, sir.
Or, you know, going to a session and saying, hey, can we talk to you at this booth afterwards? You know, I'm still working on getting the okay from Josh and Kathy to do.
Josh and Kathy, y'all need to hook that up. Thank you.
And Josh actually told me he was familiar with the sports medicine broadcast. He's like, yeah, sounds like great. So I was like, all right.
I'll tell you what's great about this is you can your shoulders up a little bit. You know, you can you're out of practice. You stick an earphone in one of your ears and you can catch up on it, or you can have it run. I know in my office when you do the broadcast, I'll have it run in the background. Of course, I'm doing other things, but I like background music anyway. So, and I'm catching, I'm listening in. I think it's just it's good what you guys do, and that's what we're always told. And something I thought about yesterday, this may be a good – I don't know if we got to get off the air or anything.
Nope, we're waiting.
I had a question.
About an hour.
You know, I've been – like I said, I've been in many Twitter debates and friendly debates just talking about our profession. And it always comes back to the hours and the pay and things like that. And there's so many different views on where we're at. You know, talking with guys like Mike Barra, who's an athletic trainer from Memorial Hermann, and telling me stories about – him having to drive 15 miles to get ice to come back to school for practice, and while he's gone, the other trainer had to come from the other high school when he was down in Fort Bend and had to cover his PE class. It was just, and you think about those and now where we're at today, well, my situation is not that bad, so we have progressed. I never want to lose sight of that. But yesterday, one of the things that's always brought up in these debates is, in order to increase the likelihood that your pay would increase, your hours would decrease, whatever the case may be that you're trying to fight for, is that we promote the profession. And one of the ways that they recommend, and I say they, people that I've come into contact with on social media, athletic trainers out there, is show your value, okay? So here's the question of the day, and I think it'll be something good to be brought up. Showing my value. So yesterday as I'm running around doing all these things, and I'm trying to be valuable to you, the Sports Medicine Broadcast, trying to be valuable to the company, trying to be valuable and learn something so I can help my students, and doing many things, which is what most athletic trainers do. Is that right? We're doing a million things. And we do that because we do more for less, and that's just how we show our value. We're incredibly valuable, and I know there's many athletic trainers that do that all over the world. They do it every single day. We do more than we ever are asked to do, and we take less than we ever should ever get. And when they say show your value, so the question here, I'm dancing around this, but show your value, to me, that means that you put yourself out there, you become more visible, you do more. But at the same time, are we regressing because we're doing more and we're still trying to fight to rein that back in, hours-wise, and increase pay and so on and so forth?
Well, I am definitely not an HR expert, and hopefully we'll be talking to an HR person at the beginning of the upcoming season when we got students about that specific topic, is how do we promote what we're doing? How do I put my best foot forward? How do I represent myself well to the community? One thing that we did is we kept track of hours. One of the reasons that we in Pasadena got out of the regular classroom and into the sports medicine classroom is because we were being recruited out. I personally had 3 different offers to leave, and that was perfect timing. Like, I mean, it was definitely God's timing, because those 3 offers came in and they were ammunition for, hey, let's get these athletic trainers out of the classroom, because mm-hmm. we're losing really good people to, you know, to go just elsewhere. Surrounding, yeah. You know, like 5-10 miles away, people are trying to get me to go over there, and not because of something fantastic that I did. I mean, you know, I'm good at what I do, but I'm not like the best in the world. But
sometimes your circumstance makes you look really good too. So they're like, wow, you teach biology and you're an athletic trainer, and you know, and that was my situation in Klein High School when mm-hmm. I first got there. I was a core teacher.
Yep, and topology. So
that situation made me look very good, despite it was difficult. And then you get called out, and somebody says, "Hey, come, why don't you come do that for us?" You know,
yeah.
I'm not going to do all that. You know, and then they say, "Well, let's make the deal better then." And so then you have ammunition, like you said. Let's go in there and tell them, "Hey,
yeah,
these are facts."
So you know, obviously, people were taking notice of that. One thing Bill and I recently started doing was we keep track of our hours, mm-hmm. and I think you were actually in that conversation. Someone said, keeping track of your hours is useless. I said, no, it's not useless. It is very valuable. And then if you want more information, then you keep track of what you do during those hours.
Correct.
So kind of what we were talking about with Josh, the entry-level masters, you know, all of us that went through internship, we would have 4,000 hours in 2 years or whatever,
yeah.
whereas they have to have 1,800 hours over 4 years. Well, they're focusing so that time isn't just I go to sit in the athletic training room with the athletic trainer in the office. I'm sitting here doing my homework, eating my lunch, and doing my laundry while I'm still here getting hours. No, this is time where I'm sitting here, I'm inputting physicals, I'm looking at impact tests, I'm communicating with a doctor, I'm recruiting kids for next year, I'm developing rehab plans, I'm evaluating.
The fundraisers and all the other things you had to do.
Yeah, I mean, the field trips that were going on. Yeah. You know, and so documenting the things that you do so that when you can see, yes, I really am kind of lazy, or no, I'm really killing it.
Correct.
And then once you have that documented, because you've documented the hours, you've documented what you're doing during those hours, then you can show your value to your supervisors and then go on from there.
That's a good answer. You know, you show your value. I agree. You're right. They always say, you know, market yourself and record everything. So this year, what my partner and I did is every time they came in the training room. So normally we don't do Band-Aids and ice in the treatment, mm-hmm. you know, computer log. But we decided everything. You know, everything we do, Band-Aids, ice, whatever it may be. You came to say hi, put your name in the computer because you're taking up my time. You know, something like we want to. And so we haven't crunched the numbers yet because I think we're both kind of scared to see actually what it was. But even the ankle tape jobs that we did before football practice, we had a student trainer standing there writing down their names, and we were going to go back and put those in the computer so we could – I mean, that's all part of our time. And so we're trying to increase our value, but I've also heard athletic trainers, and this is the situation that many of them face, is they've done that. They've tracked the hours, the time, everything that they do, and they're given basically like it or leave it. And that's unfortunate. And so then
but at that point, are you willing to leave it?
Exactly. Can you? You know, if you're a father and you have a family and they're established and they love their school, they love their church, they love their where they're at, can you really walk in and say, you know what, I'm out? There's a lot that goes into it when you right. when you think about all that. I feel for athletic trainers that we get backed into that corner, and we get told, you know, well, support yourself and increase your profession, so on and so forth. And I agree, absolutely. You know, don't make us look bad. But at the same time, who's doing stuff at the top to get the people that see us as simply employees to realize our value? So if we're doing our part at the bottom, and this is not a shot at any particular organization, but this is just a matter of conversation, if we're doing our part, because God knows every athletic trainer I've ever worked around or been with does way more than they should have to. But it's what we do, right? We're taught that from the beginning. The people at the top need to be fighting that way down so we can finally meet at the middle and everybody accomplishes something. And that was the debate that was brought up about, okay, so let's go get a master's and spend $40,000 more on education and come out with $80,000 in student debt and go make $40,000 a year. Of course, now that says the average is $50,000 a year, but I know my starting pay was $32,000. Okay, so where's the middle point? What are we going to do here? If we're promoting from the bottom, what's happening at the top?
Yeah, I definitely understand. And at first, I was like, the entry level master's is ridiculous. But the more I've talked with Josh and some of the other people on Twitter, like, I understand. And maybe part of the reason that we take low-paying jobs, $10,000 for a whole year at a college, no, that's ridiculous, is because there is an overabundant supply, so the demand isn't great. So within
this physical therapy model that they did back in the 80s.
Yeah, if there is a is if there's fewer number of athletic trainers coming out or being credentialed, then you're going to have to pay them more or not have one, and then face the liability that's going to come with not having an athletic trainer when you have sports. So yeah, it's going to take a long time, but I understand the process. I don't say I fully agree with it.
It's like anything. And I would say that point, that standpoint, when you tell me that, okay, this makes sense. But then we're also sitting here realizing this may be a 20-year gap. And how many kids in that 20-year gap? And, of course, you know, they're going to have to sacrifice a little bit, but in that 20-year gap, That's quite a few people going quite a bit in debt.
But if we wait another 5 years, then it's 25-year gap instead of just a 20-year gap. So
this is true. It needs to be done.
And, you know, when I talked to Yellen at first, you know, I really like the university's master's athletic training program. I think they do a great job. Mm-hmm. But I think he said it was somewhere around $20,000 to $30,000 for a two-year program. So like you're saying, another $30,000, and you can't work during that program because, as we talked to him yesterday, you know, they're really pushing them to be here, mm-hmm. you know, because they're pushing them to be at the marathon and all this other stuff, because those are invaluable experiences that once they become a professional that you can't replicate. Like, never. It's amazing. And so I think it's a really amazing job that they're doing, but $30,000 is really tough to, unless you're well off, to come up with, to not have to have that paid back.
And then later on have to pay it from a salary that I mean, yesterday I saw a tweet that said the average athletic the mean wage for an athletic trainer in Florida was $39,000. And I know it's very similar all across
mean is
the board.
Average, right?
Yeah. So the average pay, correct.
So that means you're taking somewhere like from 50 to 45 or from like 5 to 60 or something like that.
Yeah, and so when I say, you know, pay me more, work me less, I don't say that as a spoiled brat sitting over here. I don't want to do anything I get paid for it because you know, check the resume on every single athletic trainer out there. They'll put in the work. And even if you started paying them now what they're worth, you might not ever be able to make it up. And I don't speak about myself in that. I speak about us as a community. We do more. We do more than anybody else. And I say that just matter-of-factly. I don't put anybody else down. But every athletic trainer knows where I'm coming from when I say that. And to, you know, when I was in a debate and I said, hey, we, you know, starting pay for an athletic trainer needs to be a minimum of $60,000 a year. And some of the people in the debate were talking, well, where do you get that number? That's ridiculous. I said, it sounds ridiculous to you, but when you break it down hourly, you're making about $22 an hour. I got a buddy of mine, got an associate's, 2 years, got an associate's degree, and he got out first year making $30 an hour. Plus, he's getting overtime. We don't. And
well, Jasmine, you make what, $14 an hour? And yeah. She is an assistant at a plant where she told me she goes and gets insulation so they can put it around pipes. I mean, honestly.
You can go to Bucky's right now. God bless Bucky's. You can go to Bucky's right now and be a cashier for $15 an hour. So you're telling me I'm going to drop $70,000 on an education and then come out and be able to work at Bucky's for just about $5 less? And so I put it to him like that, that I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because I love it. Because I've been told many times, well, if you don't like it, get out. You knew what you got into. You're right. But can I fight? Can I continue to bring it to light? Can I help wake up some of these younger athletic trainers that think that first-year job at $32,000 is millions of dollars? Because it's not. Because when you start a family, when you do these things, you begin to wonder, do the hours allow me to be a human being? Does the pay allow me to be a human being? And is it a good investment for my career? These are all things that are come up and get debated about. But, I mean, we could probably go on for days, but I just, you know, like to take this time and bring it to light. And it was a good question I had, you know, how do we promote ourselves if, you know, we got to do more? Well, we're already doing a lot.
So on that we're already doing a lot, obviously we're sitting here doing the sports medicine broadcast. One of my goals, like it's kind of a dream, you know, and you have to have those unrealistic dreams to have something to shoot for, would be to be able to do this full time, to be able to travel around to all those different conferences, mm-hmm. take my family with me. I could have Sarah being sitting there doing what Jasmine's doing, starting and stopping the record button, or I could have my son Jonah, you know, in the next 5 years, he could easily be able to stop and start record, those kind of things. And if I could go to all those conferences, record, put that content out there for athletic trainers, improve the way that each of us learns, and be able to invest all of that time in my family instead of having to do this as an extra thing, that would be amazing.
I would agree, and it'd be awesome to say, you know, hey, man, where you at this week? I'm gonna fly out to San Diego and come do that conference with you. That'd be great. And then you'd be like, yeah, we're making millions over here, so we can fly you out, no problem. That'd be awesome. I'll tell you this, and I think more people check this out than maybe even you realize. You're just kind of like, you know, you'll see somebody logged in from maybe way somewhere else, and you're like, wow, you know, that's kind of cool. I know the day that I came on to speak about coaches and that relationship, my head coach watched the episode. Of course, he was looking to see if I said anything bad about it. But those, you never know how they're going to come on, and you never know what they're going to see. Not everybody has time to sit in front of the computer and actually watch, but you put it on podcast, throw it in your car, Houston traffic, you'll be there for an hour, so listen to
good
it.
Good night.
Right? You know? So you're reaching people, and I think that dream is if you keep working, you know, and we all have them, and that's the thing that you're doing. You're here now. This, one day you'll look back and you'll say, hey, you remember when we were down there doing the Memorial Hermann Sports Medicine update, and you know, we were sitting there talking about this, and we're here. And you know, hard work pays off. I agree 100%.
And again, it's setting goals. You know, I listen to Dave Ramsey. I've listened to the Audacity podcast. They talked about doing SMART goals. So you have specific, measurable, applicable, I think it is.
Is it applicable? Yeah.
Relevant and time-bound. So if you set those goals, which I haven't even taken the time to set all of those. I started working on them, and then it's time for bed, so I went to bed. So then I didn't get back to them. So I need to work on those goals, but setting those goals of where you want to be. So as we're sitting here talking about the money, we want to be at $6,000, or we want to be at, you know, $50,000 with 40 hours a week, you know, that kind of thing. And so I guess we just as a profession, we'd have to define where we want to be, because so many different people, like, obviously I would love for somebody to pay me to be at home all day to, you know, to mow the yard, to fix things at my house,
that'd
to play
be the
with my family.
Job, right? Just chill right at the house and take care of business there. And
but then I might feel like I'm worthless because I'm not improving the world, you know? Yeah. Like, with this, I'm improving athletic training. And there was a guy out there yesterday, hey, man, I love following your conversations on Twitter. Oh, really? Which ones? and you know, he talked last year to me, and I didn't remember because I was busy with this. I was talking to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I never know the impact that I'm making, but we are making an impact. And so we got to define what the goal is and then figure out the best way to get there. And I think that's part of the problem is nobody really has a realistic goal of where we want to be. We just want to push forward.
This is and it's a very odd thing because we're Neil Armstrong going where no man has gone before. We're going to learn, and every you know, child growing up, even from baby, it's a process. There's pain involved. There's mistakes made, and mm-hmm. there's lessons learned, and that's where we're at, and that's why I continue to be an athletic trainer. And I didn't go chase the oil boom, and I didn't go chase coaching careers. I wanted to be here. I wanted to do this. So there's a reason I'm sticking to it, because I believe in those people that are pushing this thing forward, like yourself. And I believe that one day, you know what, maybe we didn't see the fruits of our labor, kind of like old Abraham. He led them through the desert, right? And then all of a sudden he croaks, and then they get to where they were going, and now, like, okay, that was 40 years, man. But it was the process that's where, you know, he got what he needed to get. Sorry, I'm preaching over here. Can I get an amen? All right, so you brought up goals, and I saw another rabbit I'd like to chase real quick.
The what are your goals for the business?
Well, and you know, my business. See, my original reason to start the business was that I wanted my wife to be able to she's an athletic trainer as well, and I wanted her to be able to take an elementary teaching job and for us to have a source of income that would supplement what she would lose from her athletic training stipend. And so yesterday she got an elementary teaching job. Today I'm over there running quotes and doing all kinds of different things to get this business going, and I'm seeing how this thing's coming together. So that was my initial goal. Let's have something just to maybe cover her stipend. And the interim, long term, like you think, traveling around doing this everywhere, my interim is to continue being an athletic trainer, actually. You know, I look up to guys like Bill Wiesen, who has WizTech, and he started out of his garage just like me. He's sitting there now, still a full-time athletic trainer, and has this warehouse and a shop, and his beautiful wife sits there and runs all his invoices and everything, and he's able to still continue doing what he loves to do while having something there that also helps support his family. So eventually that would be the end goal. I would love to continue to do this and then, you know, let it be something that my family benefits from. So, but you brought up that goals, and we're talking about these goals. Those are attainable goals for me. That movie about De La Salle football.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of that movie?
When the Game Stands Tall.
When the Game Stands Tall. Okay, so the coach preached, "You be perfect." And I remember watching the movie Friday Night Lights, and Billy Bob Thornton was the head coach that played in that movie, and he talked about, "You guys be perfect." And, you know, you come from the church where you and I come from, and we're told, "You be perfect." And we're like, man, you know, perfection is unattainable, whether that be in sport or in life. But the definition of perfection is what really makes it different. And the definition of perfection when the game stands tall was given your maximal effort and your goals that you want to attain. You have truly attained perfection when you put a goal out there that you can attain, but only with maximal effort in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, one of my coaches, my first year, we went to a pep rally for the kids, you know, before tax or something. And the person came out, was like, "Say no to drugs, live a good life, make good choices, and believe in your dreams. If you believe it, you can achieve it." You know how they're hyping kids up for the mm-hmm. tax? And he said, "You got a goal, you write it on a piece of paper, and you look at it in the mirror every day, and you think about that goal, and then you go out there, and you're going to achieve it." So one of our coaches put, "My name is Emmett Smith. I'm going to be an all-pro running back for the Dallas Cowboys." And he taped it above his desk. And that guy said, "If I read it every day, that's what I'm going to be." And I think that speaks to where we're at now, because it's the – you believe you can achieve, but what happens when you don't? And what are you believing in? Is it an attainable goal? Is it a goal you can reach with perfect effort? That's what I really think that perfection is. If you give me perfect effort in whatever you're doing, whether it be the sports medicine broadcast or business or even as an athletic trainer, you give me perfect effort, you gave everything you have, cliched as it may be, that is perfection. And are you going to make mistakes along the way? But a mistake is only a mistake if you don't learn from it. And here, once again, I'm giving life. Is this a life coaching broadcast? What are we doing here, man?
Well, I mean, if anybody is listening, and it is. I think it's just value. If people listen to the podcast because they find it valuable or they enjoy listening to me or enjoy listening to you. And I think some of the best conversations are the ones where we're not going off a script or we're just rolling, mm-hmm. And those are the good conversations. Those are the ones that people are probably going to download the most. I know that some of the ones that have been more popular were the ones that just flowed, that just kind of came out.
Talk about life, yeah.
Followed a topic, and here we're talking about goals and talking about the pay for athletic trainers and our life in general, which most of the people listening to the download would be athletic trainers, mm-hmm. and they know, but they may not know to record their hours or to keep track of what they're doing or to, in my case, I almost always wear khaki pants if I'm inside, like mm-hmm. if I'm really inside. If I'm in and out on the field and inside, then, I'll wear khaki shorts or gym shorts depending on what's going on. But because I'm presenting myself to those coaches that think, well, he's just another coach. He just sits in the training room all day. He doesn't have class. No, I'm a medical professional.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I wear khakis so that I look nice. So then I'm presenting myself to the parents, the administrators, and those things. So you start right there where you are and then continue to work. So don't go up to the superintendent and say, I need this because of this. Well, start where you are. Show your value to the people immediately above you and then above them and then above them. And so that's something that I'm working on. I'm not very good at.
Yeah.
And not very many people are very good at self-promoting efficiently. But
no, and but at the same time, when you say about dressing professional and so on and so forth, there are some days when I bring my nice clothes to get into to go to class, but I've been outside fighting with a water unit, which we won't anymore for real hydration. We'll hook you up. that's part of the reason. But I'm shameless plug. I apologize. But I'm out there doing that. I'm covered in water. I'm covered in dirt, whatever. And I'm still in, my workout clothes or my shorts and a T-shirt that I brought. And I got to go hop in class and then I got to do this. And to have understanding people above you that may understand, he's not lazy. That's not why he wasn't able to get his khakis on today.
Right.
But at the same time, making those efforts when you do get the chance. And being somebody wants to get life-changing medical advice from, because if you don't look it, I ain't going to talk to you, You say you're a cop, but you're not wearing a uniform? Hold on.
Right.
That, and I would agree in the same sense on that. Something that popped in my head while you were talking over there was what in the world was it? It popped in my head, popped right out. It was a life quote for you.
Try not to hit the table.
Oh, hey, looky here. I'm making noise. I apologize. We're over here at the 14th Annual Sports Medicine Update, sponsored by Memorial Hermann. We're talking about life goals. We're talking about life lessons. That's what I was talking about. See, we brought it back here. The thing that you talk about the podcast, you don't know what people are getting sometimes because you may not get the feedback. But somebody that may be listening to this today, they popped in. All right, quit blowing up my Twitter about watching this thing. I'm going to go check it out. And then they go check it out, and they hear us talking about, somebody that's grinding it out just like they are. They hear this inspirational spirit about us that we can do this. We got dreams. We got business dreams. We got things outside the training room. That's not all of our life. When they hear that, that may be encouragement to somebody. Or they may hear something that they can apply, and they pass it to one of their students. Man, to me, that makes all the difference in the world. That's where we want to be. We want this to be, they say your true value is measured when you're gone.
Right.
Who remembers you? What do they remember? And how are they passing that on? That's why I'm in a high school setting, man, because I want to do that thing. Same with you. I know that. That's where you want to be.
We're keeping going. I just need to check.
Yeah, he's going to do some reading there. So anyways, if you're tuning in today, check this out on the podcast. It's just a couple of athletic trainers talking about life here down here at the 14th annual Sports Medicine Update. Lamar Herman doing a great job for us. This has been one of the more informative things that I've been to. On that note, one of informative things, when I say things, when informative, what do they call these?
Seminars, lectures, continuing education, conferences, symposium.
One of the more informative ones that I've been to, because they're bringing in quality speakers. They're doing a great job to not just have us sit there and get these hours and go home. We're really learning. And at the same time, when we were talking about what are people actually picking up maybe from this or picking up from you as a professional, you can come to these conferences and you can sit there, and I'm going to be real honest with you. I've sat in a couple and it was things that I already know, and they did not surprise me, and I was not, you know, blown away, learned something new. But then I hop out in the hall and I talk to, you know, other athletic trainers, and I hear some of their stories from way back when, and I hear how they're, you know, the horror stories or when they got kids climbing up in the band tower and mooning everybody on the side of the highway. This is a true story I got yesterday, by the way. And they're telling me these stories. Those things, maybe more so than even from the actual seminars, is that I'm taking away this camaraderie, these stories, these encouragements from other athletic trainers. And I think that's the beauty of this whole thing. Let's come together and let's share life and share where we're at and tell all our horrible, funny stories that we have. And, you know, Sportsman Medicine Broadcast, same thing. You're allowing this time that somebody may be getting something from.
Yeah, and that's one of the things with this. I feel a lot more comfortable talking to any of the doctors. I go, hey, would you mind coming over here for an interview? And then I can just have a regular conversation. Before, I would have been just kind of standing in the back. But now I'm used to doing this. Mm-hmm. So I'm communicating professionally, but also with my students. Again, they're high school kids, so the realization of the impact is, I don't know, they're kids. And so they don't realize that this is a medical doctor. This is a registered dietitian. This is a sports psychologist. This is Dr. Summer Ott coming in here to talk to you. She is one of the leading neuropsychologists in the nation. She's here in your classroom talking to you today about sports medicine.
Yes.
And so, you know, just them understanding that they may 10, 20 years later, they may not.
Let's take that moment to highlight the value of this broadcast, whether it be the little things that pick up an athletic trainer, or more importantly, the people you've connected with have poured into you and given you knowledge that you directly give back to your students. That increases your value exponentially right at the spot, because you know people. You're friends with Sonya up with the Texans. Mm. I mean, I'm sorry, not
Steelers,
Texas.
I'm going
to get punched in the face with that one. Steeler Nation, don't hurt me. But up with the Steelers, you know, that's an NFL athletic trainer. We get to know guys like Bob Marley, NFL athletic trainer, and people that are leading graduate programs. And you're right, Dr. Ott, all these big-name people. That is a connection for you through this that directly benefits the students and the athletes you work with. So kudos to you, man. That's awesome. You're doing a great job. I don't know if you ever hear that enough.
I hear it a little bit more often now. You know, you or Dr. Knobloch and those guys, they say this. You know, it's still hard for me to swallow sometimes, but I think anybody who's got a little bit of humility.
Yeah, so. If you're like myself, I can do anything for anybody. I'll help you out any way I can. But when somebody comes up to help me out, I'm kind of like, what do I do with my hands here? This is really weird. And it's hard to step back and say, okay, you can do that, because we're not used to, we're givers. You know, that's what we do. And there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, when people do compliment you and people do give you a lending hand, I've learned one thing in athletic trainers, you're not superheroes. You can't save the world. Even though I know you think you can, if you do get offered some help sometime, don't you know, get a big ego and think, I don't need that. No, take it, because that's a person that's, they're going to receive satisfaction and a blessing from helping you. So let that happen, man. Let people help you out, and let people give you a little praise now and then. And praise, all it is them just expressing how they feel, what you do with it. If you walk out of here and say, yeah, I'm the best sports medicine broadcast in the world, because technically you are, because, you know, who else is doing this, right?
Right.
Yeah. but at the same time, you are, man. And I keep tapping the table. I'm going to get punched over here. Don't punch me, Jasmine, please.
Yeah, Jasmine's the one that edited it all for me last year, so she really might do a neck chop or something.
Okay, so we got a Pasadena High graduate. Is that correct?
Yep.
And you're at A&M now? What? How about that? I know a lot of good Aggies. My brother-in-law's an Aggie, and my wife went there for 2 years, was in the training program. Then she had to come to Kingsville to find me. So, you know, I don't blame her. I don't blame her. Still, Texas A&M Kingsville, I mean, we're still somehow like step cousins somewhere along the line.
Something like that. All right, so talk about a little bit about – obviously, we talked to you a month or two ago about free hydration, mm-hmm. about the coolers, and there's been a lot of evolution since then, because the one you brought was still – was like piecemealed together.
Yes.
And so you've actually taken these to a football game, used them. You've used them at spring football practice. Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit more about – some of the developments, some of the things that you've accomplished.
Man, it's been a little while since we did that that episode. Well, since then, we finally got our full Frio Lago, which is our battery-powered hydration unit. We actually have it on display today down here at the Sports Medicine Update. We also have our Rio, which is what most athletic trainers would know is the one you plug into the hose, and you got to have a water source. And we've had both of those on the market since June 1. And we debuted the Lago at Klein Collins here in Houston area, put them out there with it. They used it in spring football. We used it at our spring football practice at my high school. And then we sponsored the Bayou Bowl, which is the all-star game here in the Houston area. So we had it on the sidelines. And a lot of people have, you know, perked up to it. And the beauty of what we're doing is we've left quite a few athletic trainers speechless, because if they're anything like me, they're looking to get a good deal for their money. They're looking to get something that finally does what it says it's going to do. And so when they come talk to us at our booth and we're showing them on our unit, you know, for instance, the Lago, and they're asking, well, what about this and what about that and what about this? I think it's refreshing for them to hear somebody say, we thought about that. Check this out. I've had people say, you know what, I thought about doing that. For instance, the solar panel that we're going to put on top, I've thought about doing that. Well, hey, that's what we're here to do. Plus, if you have an idea that's even better than ours, I've got a great manufacturer. We can make it happen. Whatever you would like to happen, fully customizable carts. And we feel that, like I told everybody yesterday, I'm an athletic trainer. I built the hydration unit that I would want. And somebody told me somebody else may want that too. You might want to do something with that. And here we are, and a dollar and a dream, baby, a dollar and a dream. But we're out here, and shameless plug.
So you've been pleased with the what is, you know, the sellable, the final product?
Absolutely. I went to my manufacturer for the cart, gave him an idea, and that guy went above and beyond what I even thought it could be. And so him and I together have made that part of the cart. The things that I knew we needed to do, we did. The things that I didn't see from a manufacturing standpoint, he brought in. So the quality of the cart is, obviously you're getting a 5-year warranty on the cooler, and that's with those Bison coolers. And you've seen them. I mean, they're heavy duty. I was standing on the cart yesterday out in the hallway, jumping up and down, and people thought I was crazy, but I was trying to highlight these things are tough. That quality alone, I knew we were getting, but the powder-coated steel frame, and then you add in the fact that we're keeping the battery and the pump all together in one, so you just pull the box off, charge the whole box. If you have an issue and a pump goes down or a battery goes down, you don't have to troubleshoot it. We'll send you a new one. Just pop that one on there, send us the old one. We'll take care of the troubleshooting. We'll fix that box up and get it right and have that out there for somebody else that may need it. We do the things that, as athletic trainers, I wish a hydration company would do now. And I guess necessity breeds invention. I had an invention.
Yeah.
And there we are. So we're excited. Right now, we're a sole source, so it's very simple for schools to purchase. We have all the paperwork that says we're the only ones doing it this way. And so we're able to get your business, and by this time next year, we'll be on the buy boards and everything like that. Right now, we're really hammering the Houston area. There's a lot of athletic training prowess here. You know, even the sports medicine broadcast. Look at me. I'm on the internet telling everybody about my my things. That is not something that maybe we would get elsewhere. So shout out to H-Town. And we're happy with where we're at, man. And that's the other thing. If an athletic trainer says, well, I got athletic trainer from Willis today was like, well, I got to trek it half a mile through pine trees, sand, and roots. You think he can handle it? And I said, I tell you what, I'm going to come and see you in a couple of weeks, and we're just going to hitch it on there. No strings attached. I just want to see if it can handle it. We're that type of company. And we always hope to be that. But our bottom line is not the money signs. Our bottom line is are you a satisfied athletic trainer or coach? And are you dealing – we always ask this, what W are you worried about? Are you worried about water? Or are you worried about winning? You should not be wasting time when you should be taking care of your athletes dealing with a broke hydration unit. Have you been there before? You know, where you got a kid that is injured, then one of your student trainers says, Doc, the water unit isn't working, and you got too much to worry about. And I can't say that you'll never have an issue. You know, I can't give you a million-dollar guarantee that this is the most perfect unit in the world, because things do happen. But at the same time, I know the time and the effort put into it. We're going to give you what you're looking for, and something that definitely reduces that time. And shoot, who else out there is going to offer you a 2-year warranty? You know, nobody else will do that. That's how much we believe in our product. So a lot like what you said, Dave Ramsey, trying to do things right, you know, take care of athletic trainers who take care of these kids and these coaches who take care of these kids. That's where we're at, man. Did I give you my whole life story?
Just about.
I apologize. I get fired up. I'm passionate about it. You know how I do.
I know, and I told you, I think that's why people enjoy listening whenever you're on, because you can
well,
just,
and I usually say some stupid stuff every now and then, but see, that's me. My heart's on my sleeve, man. I'm out there. I want to have a good time. I want everybody else to be happy and have a good time as well. Jasmine's been over here laughing the whole time. She's texting her friends. You wouldn't believe this goofball we have right now.
Are you tweeting?
Oh, there you good. Go. She's tweeting.
Are you tagging him? Are you adding him, as the kids say?
No, yeah. I did not.
At me next time, bro.
Okay, what's your Twitter?
At Fight, F-I-G-H-T. Finish, F-I-N, but not another I, S-H, so it's F-I-N-S-H, because Twitter, you know, they're holding me back. And then Faith, F-A-I-T-H.
See, I didn't want to ask that, because I didn't want you to be like, man, I just misspelled it. And then I don't know if I could look at you again, but you know what? I have business cards where I misspelled my Twitter thing.
So I tried to come up with some cool thing, like, you know, if you take the I out of finish, you can make it happen or something stupid like that. But then I was like, there's another I in it, dude. So, no, it was Twitter. Just when I created that
six, 7 years ago,
I was like, well, what do I take out here? You know, and that was it. But that comes from my favorite Bible verse, 2 Timothy 4:7. And plus that was our motto for our college football team. And every football team subsequently that I've been with, high school, that's become our team motto. And then 2 summers ago, I told our head coach, he said, you really believe in that Bible verse, don't you? I said, man, I believe it is a life verse. It's because if you fight and you finish and you keep the faith, good things are going to happen. And life's a fight, isn't it? I mean, my goodness, my mama caught me on it one day. I was boo-hooing about something, you know, something in life. And she was like, well, what do you always say, fight, finish, faith? Well, you're not fighting very hard right now. Ooh, thanks, Mom. At me next time. And but we have the – and I told my head coach, I said, I believe in this stuff. And sure enough, I got a tattooed on my arm. I came back in 2 days. He's like, McFarlane, you're crazy. I'm like, if you're just learning this, you're a little late to the party, dude.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't say it's crazy. I'm just passionate about things. I'm passionate about things I believe in, like this, like my company, like athletic training as a profession. It's you know, I could sell ice to an Eskimo if I believed it was the best ice in the world. Water to a whale. I don't know. There's a million of these we can do.
Water to a whale. Except for whales don't have money.
Well,
very true. Well,
this is true. And that's why I quit selling water to whales, because, you know, the whole cash flow issue. Yeah, apparently, supply and demand. They have a lot of it. Except for the one that's washed up
right
on the beach. Boom. Opportunity. Okay.
So where else are we headed with this one, Jasmine? What's our next topic, Jasmine?
Jasmine, what do you think? What are you learning today, Jasmine? Here.
Here you go. Here you go. She can come sit right here.
There you go. Scoot over a little bit. Take them headphones off. Listen to all that rap music. What's wrong with you?
Are you You guys take this away. I'm going to go get that other thing ready, and I'll be right back.
Okay, cool. Jasmine, so what have you learned just sitting there and doing the audio for us?
I've learned quite a bit of interesting things.
Yeah, that's the universal answer for I don't remember right now.
No, it was really interesting listening to Dr. Mosey talk about the different observations he makes on his patients just by within the first like 5 minutes of them walking just into his room. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing. 90% of your evaluation is before you ever touch the patient. Mm-hmm. Now you're an athletic training student, correct?
Hope to be.
Going to be.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Open A&M. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me know if I need to make some phone calls for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So right now you're a freshman.
I will be a senior.
You're gonna be a senior in high school?
No, college. Okay. Yes.
He looks young, y'all. What are you gonna do here? Okay. Okay. So you're now realizing, hey, this is where I want to go. This is what I want to do with my life. Now that you hear, and that's okay because they say, what, you change your major 5 times before you ever get it figured out. I stayed with one because I guess, I don't know, either I'm a genius or I'm dumb, one of the two. But you heard Jeremy and I talking about just some things that we face in the athletic training profession. Mm-hmm. Just standing right on the edge of moving into it and probably pursuing a career in this. How does that make you feel when you hear when we talk about pay and hours and promoting yourself, so on and so forth?
Well, I haven't changed my major, actually. I've always wanted to do athletic training. Mm-hmm. And I was introduced by Mr. Jeremy. And it's a way for me to be involved in sports, something I love, and also be helping people. My mom, actually, she's kind of worried about, like, the money situation. Mm-hmm. She's like, you can make more money being a physical therapist, something like that. But, I don't know, I'm passionate about, like, being on the field with mm-hmm. athletes. And it's something that I want to do, so I'm not really worried about that part.
Yeah.
But the long hours, eventually having a family,
these are things that you think about.
Yeah.
These are things that you think about. And it's tough to look at a career, and my wife being an athletic trainer, and she actually had to stop what she, and not that she isn't going to love taking care of elementary kids, but mm-hmm. is that a little bit of a far reach that you can't actually live your life doing this and trying to have a family? I think that really is a bad taste, but there's some situations that provide that, whether it be a clinical setting, so on and so forth, and we just hadn't found that yet. There's the field of athletic training is opening up. There's hospitals, especially around the Houston area. We see Memorial Hermann and the other hospitals doing a great job of providing career choices to athletic trainers that maybe you're not going to be in high school. Maybe you'll be in a clinic, be an outreach athletic trainer, so on and so mm-hmm. forth. So there's options for you. And I know mamas always worry. That's just what they do.
Yeah.
Have you considered doing physical therapy and getting your athletic training certification or license on the side? Because that's a route that we've talked about a lot with our student trainers.
Okay.
Just knowing what I know, having been in the business just 5 years,
mm-hmm.
I've seen some athletic trainers that they get the athletic training degree, they know athletic training, and then they get out and they find out that the job market is not maybe what they thought it would be. Because we hear about these beautiful clinical jobs, and you work 8 to 5, and you're in a clinic, and you're dealing with happy patients all the time, and of course, it's like ideal situation, right?
Yeah.
And then you come out and know you're 14 hours a day at a high school doing what Jeremy does, and I know you've seen him do it.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in that situation, you know, then you're kind of like, what am I doing? So I ask my student trainers, give yourself options. Put yourself in a position to be marketable when you get out there. For instance, my wife, she was straight athletic training degree, but 2 years ago I told her you need to get your teacher certificate in case something comes up with, you know, we want to slow down. And so she went ahead and got her teacher certificate. Now she can go be a PE teacher, she can be a health teacher, she can be an athletic trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I bring up to you, have you thought about those things, or did you even know about those things before we talked about
it? Yeah, actually I'll be graduating with teacher certification and everything
that awesome.
Like that, yeah.
So what happens one day when you get into athletic training, and let's say you love working with students, you're like mm-hmm. Jeremy and myself, and you just want to pour out and help make an impact in their life? Got you, cool. And you want to make an impact in their life, now you have an option
yep.
to go out there and let's say you just want to be a health science teacher, and you want to go to school at 7 in the morning, and you want to come home at 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo.
Yeah.
You can do that, and you can still make a decent living. So I think you've got it figured out, girl. I think you're one of those. It sounds like Mama's had a hand in it too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. got shout out to Mama's. Daddy's too. All right, so Jeremy just came in and said, dude, shut up. We got to move on. And I know that's bad for airtime, but I'm sorry, guys. I'm just being real. We're sitting here at the 14th Annual Sports Medicine Update. We just got done with an hour-long conversation about life. And I tell you what, folks, if you listen to it on the podcast, hopefully there's something on there that either makes you laugh, makes you shake your head, or actually inspires you to continue doing what you do. We're down here. We're promoting the profession of athletic training and also physical therapy and the whole sports medicine spectrum. We're going to move on. We have our next guest coming in here just shortly. I think Jeremy went outside to pull him in here. So far today, we've been over ACL injuries. We've been over taking care of the feet. And if you want to be an athletic trainer or a physical therapist and you can't handle feet, you might want to think about doing something else. Am I right, Jasmine?
Yep.
Their lumbar injuries, we talked about a lot of spine things. That was very helpful. Just some quick things you can do in the athletic training room to evaluate spinal conditions. And they just got done with their breakout sessions here. And the thing about the Sports Medicine Update that I think is sets this apart is the fact that they have those breakout sessions. They get more hands-on. And, I mean, Jasmine will tell you, you're a student right now. What would you rather do, sit there and listen to a teacher bark or get some hands-on?
Definitely hands-on experience.
Yeah. Why is that? What sticks out to you the best part? Obviously, you're going to say, well, because I get to do it.
Well, yeah, and I just remember it a lot better.
More of a tactile learner. And most people can correlate learning with putting their hands on something and learning something.
Mm-hmm.
But then we come to find out from that was Dr. Mosey. Yeah, Dr. Mosey said, yeah, but I'm learning everything I need to know before I even touch them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, wait, but I learned hands-on.
Yeah.
So that's where the books come in. So we're down here once again, Sports Medicine Update. Memorial Hermann coming to you from the great city of Houston, Texas. Not that your city isn't great, but that we just really have a lot of pride here, don't we?
H-Town.
Yeah, H-Town. Hold it down. home of the Houston Texans, who the athletic trainer that runs this here, Bob Marley, is an athletic trainer for the Houston Texans. And then Memorial Hermann also works directly with the Rockets. And they have a big hand in what they do down at the Rockets. I want to say a doctor we had here was the one taking care of Dwight Howard when he got hurt this year. Yeah, we're in the presence of greatness, and I'm not talking about me being in the room. So we're down here, and we're learning a lot about a lot. And one of the biggest things we talked about that we're picking up on while we're down here is getting this interaction, talking to people like you that drive me to continue wanting to do what I do, because I see students every day that I want to get to that point. Senior in college? Congratulations. That really is good. I spent 2 years as a senior in college.
Uh-oh.
Well, I'll chalk that one up to athletic training, because it's hard to take, you know, the hours they want you to take and do all the athletic training and just live. My goodness, just live. Shout out the internship program. So I'm waiting on Jeremy still. I don't know if he went to lunch or if he went to go find our next speaker. And now they're closing the door on me, so I guess we'll keep this going.
Let's keep it going.
Jeremy's probably out there shaking babies and kissing hands. I mean, strike that, reverse it. You know what I mean. So we're going to go ahead and get Jeremy in here in just a second. And while we're doing that, tell me your favorite story. You think about a funny story or an inspirational story about working with Mr. Jackson down at Pasadena. You know, something funny, like the water boy tipped over, broke his leg. I don't know.
Inspirational. I think that. Oh,
hey, he's here. Come on. Give me something inspirational. 30 seconds.
Teacher appreciation. I invited Jackson and Doc to be part of it because I know how important they are to the team.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you that when they do teacher appreciation, for some reason we get forgotten because you're not teachers. I didn't think you were a teacher. Come on. I'd teach you more about life. So, anyways, the boys just walked in. Jasmine's going to hop back over, get on the headphones again, listen to all that dadgum rap music. We're moving on with our next group of guys that are going to come in here and talk. I'm going to let Jeremy take back over, and until I see you back again...